Welcome to Aspire. I'm your host, Gregory Penn. This Aspire radio program, this Satsang, as we like to call it, is being recorded for Saturday, October the 8th, 2016. And I'm very grateful to be with you. I am grateful for your not only listening, but for your kind questions that always arouse some interest in other people as well as myself. And I can't thank you enough. And I can't thank my sponsors enough. They are the ones who make all this possible. It is through their contributions, their tax-deductible gifts, that we are allowed to be here on radio. And I hope that you in some way, you the listener, will find something here that is helpful to your life and will join them in being a sponsor to help us raise money, not only for radio, but for our TV efforts. And you can go to the website at aspire.org, A-S-P-I-R-E.org, O-R-G, and there you will see on the website media, and if you click down, you'll see TV. And we have some wonderful TV programs. They've won Emmys and Tellys. Very, very happy about that. I'm very, very grateful. And they help people. And maybe they'll help you. You don't know. So go take a look. We're going to have some new programs coming out that are very old. The same old, brand new you, as I always like to say. It is going to be about some beautiful teachings on Zen that I did way, way, way back in like 1988 or so, somewhere in there. And I think you'll find them interesting because they're all about you. Yes, they are. And our spiritual quest. So go take a look. I think the first one's up now. It will be up the first week of October. So it should be up right now. And I'm recording this a little bit ahead of time. So that's why there's this stall here, this little gap. I get interesting questions. I do. And I'm very, very grateful for the interest that people have in even asking me questions. I'm very humbled by that whole event. It's always more than what I think it's going to be. And today's questions, I have, what do I want to say? Saved up. They're about 3 or 4 months old, but they are dilly whoppers, and I thought it would be time to share this with you in the fall. The first one comes from Sandy, and she lives, she says, in Oregon. Greg, what does it mean to live? Are we here to survive for some life after death? Sandy. It is a great temptation, Sandy, for any one of us to put a reason, a purpose, a supposition on anything that has to do with our life. We suppose we know many things. And yet I say to you, as I have gone on and on and on with my own process of inner awakening, that the more you know, the more difficult it becomes. It is best to know not. Not to know the things we like to believe we know. If you are open, if you are no longer a slave to your emotionality, you will come to a place inside your life where consciousness can begin to be very pertinent to your life and your lifestyle. You will start to see things in the light of love, not in the light of survival. If I live by my body, if I live by my emotionality, which is connected to my body, I make a lot of opinions. I suppose I know many things. I start to coordinate these ideas that have nothing to do with reality, with logic and reasoning. And I come up with an answer that fits the mentality of old Greg. And then I call that done. Macaroni. It's done. A lot of people do this. A lot of people only live life according to how it makes sense to them. It isn't that the life that they're living is true or anything they believe about their life is true. It's just that it makes sense to them. So they just go along with it. This is why we have religions and movements and philosophies and politics and all that other stuff. Because it makes sense to what part? What part of us does this make sense to? What am I trying to rationalize here? What am I doing? You ask me. What does it mean to live? Well, if you ask me, you're going to get my opinion. If you ask someone else, you'll get their opinion. But I don't want to give you opinion. I can only give you that direct experience that I have gotten for myself through many, many years of working upon myself. Some of the things I went through, I thought I knew, and then I lost because they weren't true. I've been through a lot of different things in the course of my own unfoldment. I never came to a conclusion about any one thing. Everything in my life has possibilities. What are the possibilities? It depends on what the nature of what we're talking about is. The possibilities, let's say, to politics is only religion. Religion and fear. The fear of religion and the religion that is fear. And out of that comes hate. So there's a great deal of hate. And it's amazing to me, it truly is amazing, that people can get so caught up in politics. Politics have never changed anything. It is an assumption that politics can do anything to change our life. Just pure opinion and hope. Then you have religion. So politics are about survival. Politics are the religion of the society that we live in. And then you have the other thing, the religious aspect of it all, that we have conjured up through assumed realities that aren't true at all. We assume a great deal. In fact, our whole life is based on assumption. We assume that there is an afterlife, as you state in your email. We go on and on and on with all of this without direct experience. I was fortunate. I was truly fortunate and blessed to have the opportunity to live in a place where people who are deeply awakened live. I saw and experienced things I can't rationalize with my mind, with my logic and reasoning. And it's very hard to talk to you about these things because, well, A, your minds are Western, as is mine, and our minds can't convert. They can't take an experience such as spiritual awakening and convert it to logic and reasoning and make it seem okay or make it seem right or make it seem logical. Everything has to appease my logic, my reasoning. And because of that, I have no room, no space, no anything for the awakening to happen. Are we living for an afterlife? There is an afterlife, but it isn't going to some nirvana. The afterlife is here. The afterlife is right in the midst of us. You are living a parallel life with a part of yourself that's on the other shore. And when you meditate and when you persevere in meditation and go deeper and deeper inside, you will see this for yourself. It isn't what we think. It isn't like you're going to live in nirvana and you can eat all of the pasta you want, never get fat, your teeth never have decay, and everybody walks around in, I don't know, robes or whatever. It isn't any of that. You are an entity of awareness. This awareness is cultivated by everything you do in this world. You are either living to promote awareness or you are living to promote human hatred and fear. If you live in the culture and the society, you will cultivate human fear and hate. If you live in the compassion of your spiritual heart, your authentic heart, you will live and laugh and play and know the way, as I say. So there you are. There you are. I didn't exactly answer your question, yet I did. I don't want to be assumed and absolute about it all for you. I want you to have a bit of discovery on your own. That's the beauty of this life, to discover it, to live it, to actuate it through compassion and love. And if you do, your question will be answered rapidly. Sandy, you are here for now. Find out what that means, and your question will be answered. Please forgive me. Namaste. It's a great question, but I got more. I have more. I am confused. I can't get my head wrapped around the meaning of my own life. What am I doing here? Is there really a purpose and a plan? Anne, from Anaheim, California. People are looking for something that makes sense to them. So they want a purpose and a plan. They think if there's a purpose and a plan, if God were a thing that had a purpose and a plan, that they would understand the nature of it all and hence would be able to live according to that plan and that purpose. But that's not the way this thing is. The kind of plan and purpose you're looking for is mechanical, pseudo. It exists only in the logic and reasoning of our human minds. You are not a human mind. You do not need logic and reasoning. Dropping all of that and being willing to enter into the state of being where love is more important than what you and I can think. When love is more pertinent than what we as human beings can believe in, that is when something of the mystical begins to enter into life. Our life is a mysticism of love. It is not something that you figure out in your head. The realities of this part of the universe have to do with tone, light, mathematics. Few of us are willing to experience any of this because it interrupts our ignorance. It interrupts our ability to have entertainment in all sorts of forms. And we simply want to be entertained while we dance our way to death unconsciously. And, of course, with a little mischief. So we keep all of this going on inside of us. We keep it moving in the direction of entertain me, provoke me through entertainment, provoke me through my fear and my hate. Let me start taking a stance on certain subjects, whether it be in social subjects, family subjects, political subjects, whatever. Just, we like to be poked, provoked, and entertained. And that's as far as we go. We'd love to think that there is some higher power guiding us, some organization that represents that higher power. And if we join that organization, whether it be a church, a movement, a philosophy, a political thing, whatever, that we're doing the right thing. I've seen a lot of, quote, unquote, wrong people get many, quote, unquote, right things. I've seen people who did terrible things in their worldly life get adoration for it, respect for it. The appeasement of the ego, the appeasement of pride and arrogance, the lower forms of our humanity, which are so necessary to sustain the hubris of my vanity and pride, are always something that people admire and want. You want to be told that you're the most wonderful thing on the planet, that you're unlimited by your human nature, that you literally can do anything and there are no repercussions for it because you're righteous. People love to hear this kind of manure. They love it. They will pay money to have somebody of authority tell them this. But that doesn't make it true. And just because it makes our ego, our vanity, and our pride feel better doesn't make it true at all. Not at all. So I have to ask myself, what am I doing? What is the meaning of this life? Yes, you are confused. You can't get your head wrapped around the meaning of your own life because you want your life to serve a purpose and that will be the meaning. But I say to you, life isn't about the purpose that we think it is, that we like to believe it is. Life is life itself. We are here to embody the whole experience of life, to become one with it, not associated with the idea of institutionalization. People want to be institutionalized. They want to belong to something so they can know what the rules are and go their merry way doing what they do, hoping, thinking, believing that what they do is the right thing to do and will give them a reward somewhere down the road of life. But of course, while we like to believe all of that, it isn't true, but we like to believe it is, so we make it true. If you repeat a lie enough, people will believe it. And that's just the fact of hypnotism, as it were. But this will do you no good at all when it comes to authentic awakening. And there will come a time, a point, a place where you will require authentic spiritual awakening. And that's what you can't get your head wrapped around. And your life has meaning. Your life is about something exquisite and beautiful. What that is the mystical. You have to find that for yourself within yourself. That is why we work upon ourselves, to find our own mysticism and the meaning of it past the idea of moral fiber, where we think there is a right, a wrong, a good, a bad, and the institutionalization of all of that. There's far more to our life than any of that. and to discover it and to realize it and to become one with it is more than affirming and denying or believing or not believing. It comes in the migration of consciousness, developing consciousness and awakening to it. If you awaken through and in consciousness, you will find that the meaning of your life is found in the process that brings you awakening. It is called silence. And the more profound your silence becomes, the deeper will be your awareness. The deeper will be your experience. Seek what cannot be found in this world. Know what cannot be thought of this world. And feel that which totally is. I hope that helped you in some way. Please forgive me. Namaste. The last question is really interesting to me. It's, excuse me, from Rob in Colorado. And here's what he wrote me. Please, Greg, please. Why this earthly life? Rob. What a beautiful question, Rob. And how few ever ask that question. In my 43 years of being a teacher, very, very few people ever stated a question like that. I will attempt to help you. You and I are here in this earthly life because this is all that we are for now. This is what we could experience. This is what we could imbibe. This is what it was all about for us for now. It isn't always going to be that way, but this is the way it is for now. So don't be discouraged at all. Be encouraged. Use every moment of your life to awaken. Use every moment of your life to be kind. Use every moment of your life to allow. Allow for what? Just to allow. Nothing more. What will be. What is. Watch, sit, observe. You will awaken. You will come to terms with everything. You will know because you are the knowing you seek. And once you truly embrace that without mind, without supplication of thinking, believing, philosophy, religion, when you are no longer willing to be homogenized through this culture and society, and you are seeking the authentic, not the assumed. When you are truly seeking the authentic and not the assumed, you will come to that beautiful place where it all is. And the all is what is. Jesus talked about it in the Gnostic Gospels. When you find the all, you will be troubled. He was right. The trouble is, you will see that things have got to change within you. And it's going to take great courage to do so. So have the courage of your question. Because if you have the courage of this beautiful question, you will awaken into the light of your heart. And the light of your heart is more than enough for the living of your life. I am honored that you sent this question to me. I want you to know that, and I hope in some way it helped you. Please forgive me. Namaste. Wow, what a neat guy, Rob. Anyway, I'm out of here. I hope you'll send me your comments and questions. Go to the website at aspire.org and go to media. You will see Satsang with Suraj. That'd be me. Click on it. Let me know where you are, what you are, and what you'd like to talk about. I'm out of here. Have a beautiful day. And once again, please forgive me, won't you? Namaste.